Amen. I like that song, don't you? I'm telling you what, that's a good expression of the redemption. Amen. We allowed Satan to steal a lot, but Jesus came that we could recover it. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you turn your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. And I think we can all say we've been encouraged and refreshed already to be in the house. When I was preaching Sunday morning, there was something, a scripture that just came as the Spirit was leading, and it impacted me when I said it. And I'm not in the audience. I don't know if it impacted the audience or not, but I was quoting from the gospel. And the question was, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the earth? Think about that. I want you to ask yourself a serious question. How's your faith tonight? And you know, I've preached enough. I'm not talking about this, what some folks call faith, this magical hocus pocus power. I'm talking about trust and confidence in the Lord. How's your faith tonight? We're in this study, Making It Into the Hall of Faith. Great examples that we've been looking at. And here is the hinge of this whole chapter, the focal point, the target. Would you read this with me? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Tonight, we're going to talk about this particular emphasis, faith to choose. And young people, I really appreciate what a great group of young people we're seeing tonight. And this message is for everyone. But as I was preparing the last few days, I just kept thinking in terms of young people, because you make a lot of choices that affect your life forever. And I want you to know the way to make the right choices is to have a faith in God. So I'm going to talk about faith to choose. And the example from the Hall of Faith tonight is Moses. Moses. Here's the verses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, since I began this series, since it's just one chapter, I haven't emphasized the theme of the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews does have a theme. And simply put, the theme of the book of Hebrews is, no matter how tough things get, no matter how much you're tempted, stick with Christ, never turn back, because whatever the adversary or the adversity, Christ is always better. I don't care what your options are, Christ is always the best way. Amen? And that's the theme of the book of Hebrews. It may not be however tough things get, it may be however pleasurable. You have a choice for something pleasurable. But the theme is, stick with Christ, because he's better than the trouble, and he's better than the pleasure, and he's better than any alternative. Stick with Christ. Faith in Christ will constantly, if you'll put your faith in Christ, it'll constantly bring that truth to the forefront of your thinking and your feeling. You're in a hard time, you're in a difficult time, you're in a tempting time, but if your faith is in God, something will tell you, Christ is better. Christ is better. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for a faith that it's always going to turn out better than any other route? Amen. Serving Christ, it'll always result in what's better. Choose Christ, it'll always make you better. It'll make your way better. And the book of Hebrews says, it'll lead to a better place. Choose Christ. You know, faith is never really tested until you have to make a choice. Isn't that right? Faith is never really tested, and we're talking about faith to make that choice, Aren't you glad we don't face some choices today? I mean, we forget this. It's buried in history. But there was a time they took Christians and said, give up your faith in Jesus and choose to worship Caesar and pledge your allegiance to Caesar, or we're going to put you in the Colosseum and let the wild beasts tear you apart. Now, I'm telling you, that's some choice to make. And if you make that choice for Christ, you're going to have faith. And today, we're not really faced with choices like that. I mean, we have really tough choices. And I may be preaching to the choir since you're here on a Wednesday night, but we have choices like, do I stay in bed and sleep another hour, or do I go to Sunday school? I mean, we have tough choices of faith today. Right? And there was a time the choice was about the Colosseum, denounce Christ or be eaten by lions. I mean, we have choices as young people, you know, adopt this type of conversation and play this kind of game and watch this kind of movie. And you might lose your faith and you might lose your relationship with God. But if you don't do that, you're not going to fit in. You're not going to be popular. You're not going to have fun. I mean, those are the kinds of choices that we have today. Many years ago, I can't remember if I preached it or wrote an article on it, but in some ways, the Colosseum was easier because it was really clear, Christ or death. And now we make choice and we say, well, maybe I can get by with this and it not take my relationship with Christ. And maybe I can do this and still make it to heaven. The choices don't seem as clear. Whatever the case, we need faith to make the choices. I want to deal first of all tonight from this example of Moses. I want to talk about a faith that you don't have to do what you're being pressured to do. I never put it in the slides, but in the whole preparation is I kept thinking what Paul said. He said, be not conformed to this world. Now let me give you another translation of that. Don't let this world pressure you into its mold. Did you know that every believer in our world, there is a pressure at work against us? And there is a faith that we do not have to do what we are being pressured to do. Let's look at the scriptures here. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, the commandment was, kill the kid. Kill the baby. That was what they were being pressured to do. But they had a faith that they were not going to be pressured to kill their child. How many knows you can have a faith that you do not have to be pressured into doing things that you shouldn't do as a believer? You know, I think this is interesting. We learn from and about Moses' faith. What we learn from and about Moses' faith begins with his parents. Did you catch that? By faith, Moses was hid by his parents. So the faith that Moses had, it started with his parents. And I believe that's true even today. The faith of the children so often begins with the faith of the parents. And I gotta move forward, but I heard a preacher on the radio today. He was talking another line, but he began to cry. I mean, this is an older man, a lot older than I am. And he began to cry. He said, you know, when I was young, my parents were farmers. And we had, I think it was a drought or disease. I can't remember what it was. But he said, we lost all of our crops. All of our crops. And he said, that night, Dad called all of his kids in there and said, kids, let's get together. He said, all right, now family, let's thank God for his goodness and mercy to us. He said, and here he is at this stage in life, he said, I still can't get over that. The faith of the children begins with the faith of the parents. You want your children to choose right by faith? As a parent, choose right by faith. Now here's the situation. For national security, for the sake of national security, Pharaoh turned to genocide. What they were afraid of, they began to do a head count, and there were getting to be more Hebrew males than there were Egyptian males. And they were afraid that the Hebrews, the slaves, there'd be an insurrection, either that, or when Egypt was attacked by her enemies, that the Hebrew slaves would rise up and join the enemies and destroy the Egyptians. And so Pharaoh came up with an edict, a commandment, that every time a Hebrew male baby was born, they were to be thrown in the river. And guess what is in the river Nile? Crocodiles. And so the commandment was, Mom, you have a male when it's born. Now, they didn't have ultrasound. They didn't know it was going to be a male until it was actually born. But if that child is a male, you must kill that child. You must throw that child into the river. Now, I want you to know something. The neighbors knew that Moses' mother was expecting. The community knew that Moses' mother was expected. And you know, we have expectant mothers here tonight. Can you imagine living under that for 9 months, knowing that when your child was born, remember, no ultrasound then, when your child was born, if it was a male, you were commanded to take that baby boy and throw it in the river. Can you imagine 9 months? And so here comes the day, and Moses' mother is delivered. But Moses' mother and father took one look at that child. They knew, number one, that it was male. But they knew, number two, that they weren't going to kill that baby. It didn't matter what the king said. It didn't matter what the law was. It didn't matter what the neighbor said. They took one look at him and said, we're not going to kill him. Somehow they had faith that he was going to become something. And I can imagine what the neighbors were saying. They were saying, look, you've got to kill that baby. It's the law. And if you don't kill the baby, they'll kill you. And besides that, everybody else has given up their baby. Have you ever wondered how hard it is to hide a newborn crying baby? Keep it secret? By faith. Instead of responding with fear and intimidation and despair, Moses' parents responded by faith. Now, I want to tell you what I'm dealing with tonight, and where I want to help us. There's so many times we as Christians, we face dilemmas of our faith at work and school and other places. And Moses' parents face that dilemma. The pressure's on. You know, I know Christians. Let me just create some scenarios. I mean, I know Christians that are told that if they work at that place, they've got to wear a certain thing that they have felt in their hearts they shouldn't wear. So you got a dilemma of faith. If you go here to this school, then you've got to do this. You've got to submit to this. And it goes against their convictions and their conscience. If you work here, then you're going to have to conform to this policy. And the Christian says, no, wait a minute. That goes against my conscience. But even other Christians will come with the argument, well, you got to go ahead and do it. It's the policy. You got to go ahead and do it. It's the law. You got to go ahead and do it. You'll lose your job. You got to go ahead and do it or you won't fit in. You got to go ahead and do it or you're not going to pass. But I want you to know there is a faith that says, no, I don't have to do what I'm being pressured to do. I was thinking of years ago, I preached a revival in a small town in eastern Oklahoma. And the pastor told me, he said, man, this brother in my church, he owns the only store in town. And I began to think about that, you know, these small convenience-like stores. And I asked the pastor, I says, does he sell cigarettes and beer? He said, oh, no. He determined he wasn't going to do that. And anyone that owns one of those small convenience stores will tell you that the majority of the money is made from the sale of cigarettes and alcohol. And I'm telling you, that store owner, as a Christian, he faced that dilemma. Are you going to make a good profit? Or are you going to stick with your conviction? And people, there's no doubt, went to him and said, if you're ever are successful with that business, you're going to have to sell cigarettes. You're going to have to sell beer if you make it. The pressure was on. But thankfully, that brother, he had the faith that says, I am not going to be pressured into that. I am not going to do that. And Moses' parents had that kind of faith. They weren't going to do what was expected. They weren't going to give up their child. And by faith, they made that choice. They knew by faith God was going to take care of them. They knew by faith that regardless of the law, regardless of the threats, God would make a way for that child to survive. And we know the story. God made a way for the child to survive. Amen. That's the kind of faith. I won't be pressured into this because God will make a way. Now, I mentioned some things. You go to work in a certain place and they say, look, you've got to wear this. You've got to wear this. And I've heard Christians say, well, to keep my job, I've got to wear this. Well, I've also heard other Christians say, I told them I wouldn't, and they let me go ahead and work there, or they fired me, but thank God they fired me. I got a better job. I'm talking about faith, not to be pressured. And listen, I'm not silly. There are jobs. I mean, there are jobs that folks have to work on Sunday. I know that. But I'm telling you, it's a dilemma for the Christian when someone comes or when they go to their place of employment and they say, all right, from now on, you're going to start working every Wednesday night. You're going to work all day Sunday. And all of a sudden, there's never a service time when you're not required to work. And I know that. I understand that there are jobs you have to do that. And there are times you have to do that. But where is that says, I'm not going to be pressured into that. I'm a believer. I need my church. I need my worship. I need my brothers and sisters. And it may mean my job. Where's the faith to believe if they take your job, God's got a better one lined up? Amen. It's a faith not to be pressured into it. I remember, and my sister was one at the time, I remember years ago in school, this is public school, and I don't know what kind of class it was, but the teacher sent home a note that all the kids were going to go watch a certain movie. And, you know, it would be mild compared to today's movie. I think it was something like Smokey and the Bandit. But my parents and others in the church said, that's filth. They're not going to go to no movie house and watch that. And so they wrote, the girls in our church, they wrote them a note and said, please excuse for religious reasons. You know, if this sounds silly, and it may, it sounds silly, it misses the fact of folks that really want to serve God with all their heart. Please excuse so-and-so from going, we don't do that because of religious reasons. And they took the notes to the teacher, and the teacher said, got angry and said, you'll fail the test and you'll fail the class if you don't go. Guess who made the highest grades? The two that had faith not to be pressured into doing what was a violation of their conscience. How many thinks we need faith like that? I mean, the results of the faith in Moses' parents was not only was Moses' life spared, their life was spared, and Moses ended up being raised in the safest place in Egypt. And Pharaoh's own house. Oh, the irony. Oh, the wonderful thing. And I don't know if I'll have time to tell that story tonight. And not only was he raised in the safety of Pharaoh's house, they paid Moses' mother to change his diapers and feed him and teach him. How would you moms like that? Simply because Moses' parents had faith not to be pressured into going against their conscience. By faith, you can choose not to do what you are being pressured to do. Secondly, tonight, we've got three things. There is a faith, the faith to choose, that you don't have to be what the world says is the best way to be. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused, see the power to choose? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I don't know you know this, young people, but there's going to come a time when you really make up the decision, am I going to be called a child of God? Am I going to be called a servant of God? Am I going to be called a Christian? Or am I just going to be what the world says is the fun thing and the right thing to be? You will, every one of us, have to make that decision. What are we going to be? By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. choosing, faith to choose, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we all know that's a message in itself. I would be wrong to tell you tonight there's no pleasure in sin. There is. Not in the sense of deep-seated joy or happiness, but in the terms of excitement and thrills. There's pleasure in sin, but it has an expiration date on it, as certainly as the milk in your refrigerator. Amen? How many's with me tonight? I don't like when preachers ask that, but how many's with me tonight? How many wants a faith to choose? A faith to choose. In the world's eyes, Moses had everything in Pharaoh's house. Everything the world would desire. He had comfort. He had riches. He had position. He had power. He had pleasure. That's the things the world seeks. And anyone would have told him, that's what you should be. You should be part of Pharaoh's government. You'll be one of the chief men. You'll live in this luxury. You'll live in this pleasure. By the way, how did he get there? You remember there came a time they couldn't hide him any longer. And so Moses' mother made that little basket and put tar on it and had Moses' sister watch it, and it floated down the Nile River, floated right to where Pharaoh's daughter was there in the water. Pharaoh's daughter brings him out of the water and says, that's my child. I'm going to adopt him. And we've already told about what happened. But what I want you to see, when she made that decision to adopt him, not only was that rescuing his life, but it was setting Moses up for everything that anybody would desire from the world. You say, boy, I'd really like to have lots of money. Moses had it. I'd like to have power. Moses had it. I'd like to have the opportunity to enjoy all the pleasures of the world. In the household of Pharaoh, Moses had that. He had a bright future as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. There is a pressure to be what the world says. And if the choice against the world was this, choosing against suffering in the world or suffering for God, it's a no-brainer. But that's not the choice. The choice is between pleasure in the world and suffering for God. That makes it completely different. And Moses chose not to be what the world said he should be and have the pleasure. He chose rather to have suffering and pain and poverty with the people of God. In other words, the question is like this: do you want the fun and success in the world, or do you want to suffer persecution with the people of God? And Moses had a faith that said, no, I will not be a pleasure seeker. I will not be a money seeker. He said, I would rather suffer with the people of God. You have to have real faith in God to choose that way. That is a faith to choose. Amen. If you have genuine faith, you will have a trust in God. You will say no to the world's mold of success and pleasure, even if you suffer doing so. I've heard young people say, they'll make fun of me. They'll make fun of me. The world will tell you, you are missing out. There's an answer to that. When they look, oh, going to church, you're missing out. Yeah, I'm missing out. I'm missing out on heartache. I'm missing out on diseases. I'm missing out on pain. I'm missing out on addictions. I'm missing out on bondage. Yeah, you're missing out, all right. Hallelujah. Faith to choose. They'll ridicule you and make it hard on you at school and work. Hey, I'm a teenager of the 70s. Anyone remember what was in for males in the 70s that's coming back in? Long hair. Guess what? My church and parents didn't believe in long hair. And it gets worse than that. My dad was my barber. And he listens to this. Dad, you weren't a good barber. In fact, I'll never forget, 8th grade, Dad had cut my hair and he had slipped and left a big old white, and I had real thick hair then, left a big old white cut place right here. I got to school and One of the students looked at me and said, "What happened to you?" I wasn't going to say my dad did. I said, "My barber." That student looked back at me and said, "I'd sue him." But I'll never forget walking those long sidewalks into public school and them yelling out, "Here comes the 50s kid." Because of the short hair. Now, that's nothing against you that were 50 kids. But that... Later, when I got called to preach, carry my Bible to public school, "Here comes that preacher." Ridicule. It's not easy. Oh, there's the 50s kid. I've lost a slide in here somewhere. But if you choose spirituality, not only will the unbelievers at work and school come against you, the so-called Christians will too. I want to tell you, people, if you really make up your mind to sell completely out to Christ and live wholly for Him, it won't just be those that are supposed to be sinners that'll make fun of you and put the pressure on you. It'll be those that are supposed to be Christians. They'll give you the hardest time. And same at work. I mean, no telling the pressure that was put upon Moses. And here's the thing I want us to consider tonight. I'm talking about a faith to choose. You don't have to be pressured. Can we not make a connection between the fact that Moses' parents made a stand against Egypt when he was a baby and the fact that when Moses was grown, he made a stand against Egypt? You said he's too young to even know that. Maybe so. But I think there's a connection. Since Moses' parents stood against Egypt, I think that did something in Moses. And he said, "I'm going to stand." Parents, I'm telling you, if you make the wrong decisions about faith, they will be duplicated in your children. If you make the right ones, amen, that's going to be a powerful example. Let's go on. How did he do that? How did he do that? Here's how he made that choice by faith. Esteeming, here's how he chose suffering over pleasure. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Here it is. He could choose to suffer as one of God's people over fitting the mold of pleasure and success in the world because his faith allowed him to see how it would all turn out for both. I'm telling you, you can have a faith that lets you see how it's going to turn out for the one that's in the world and how it's going to turn out for the Christian, even though he goes through times of denial of pleasure, he goes through great suffering. If you've got a faith, just like Moses, I mean, here it is again. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. If you can see how this is going to end up, you see, Satan gets us to live just for the moment. That's how that pleasure of the world draws us. It's for the moment. It's immediate gratification. And you become in bondage to that. But if you get faith in Christ, you see beyond immediate gratification. You see consequences of sin after the gratification. And on the other hand, you see past being made fun of at school. You see past at people making fun of your faith. You see past that to the one day when their life is already broken and you're living for God and you have a godly family and you're raising godly children and you have a marriage that works. And you see even past that to the day of spending eternity in the presence of God. Faith will help you see that. The psalmist had trouble with that. Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous have it so tough? He said, "I was really having a problem with that until I went to church. And then I began to understand their end." You see, you can't do that in the world. You don't think long term. You don't think about the immediate lust of the flesh. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hallelujah. How could Moses have the kind of faith? He's not going to be pressed into the mode to be Pharaoh's daughter, be Pharaoh's adopted grandson, be a worldly-minded, worldly figure. How can he have that kind of faith? Because he had his eyes and his hearts and his goals set on God. Let's look at it again. He endured, he did not fear the wrath of the king because he saw him who is invisible. How can you ignore Pharaoh the king because I see the greater King. I see the invisible King. I see Christ. And I just want you to know, I'm not quite there yet, but let me just tell you this real quickly. You cannot lust for the things of this world and believe God at the same time. Lust and faith can never coexist. You cannot be seeking the things of the world and have any faith, any belief, trust in God at the same time. It's when you say no to this world, amen, you'll recognize the faith. However, if you really have your heart set on God, you can say no to temptation. You can turn from it. I'm going to make this statement before we get done here. Worldliness is a lack of faith. And I've been pondering this week. You know, I used to think people got worldly because they lack commitment. They lack conviction. And there's some truth to that. But if you really want to dig down to the furthest foundation stone, worldliness is a lack of faith. Let me explain why. Someone that's raised in church, let's just take another young people. You don't have to be raised, but you know the things of God. Noah, you've been raised, you've experienced the presence of God, you've heard the truth of God, and all of a sudden the world really begins to look appealing, and you go out into the world, you begin to experiment with the pleasures of the world. That was a lack of faith. Here's why. You didn't really believe God could satisfy you. You didn't really believe God could fulfill you. You didn't really believe that God could meet your needs. You began to fall for the lie that it takes the world to make me happy. It takes the world to satisfy me. It takes the world to give me meaning. Worldliness is a lack of faith. If you've got faith, you'll see it clearly. God will meet my needs. I don't need that. God will give me joy. I don't have to have that. God will give me satisfaction and purpose and fulfillment. Amen. By faith, you can choose to be what God wants you to be, even if it doesn't fit into the mold of what the world says that you should be. Now, this is just take a moment, but this is the last thing I want to cover. This faith to choose, it's a faith that you don't have to do what folks are trying to get you to do. It's a faith that you don't have to be what they're trying to get you to be. But underneath it all in Moses' life is the faith that you are covered. That's how you can have faith to make the right choices. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, you know, just briefly to remind you of that story. The last plague was going to be the death of the firstborn of everybody in Egypt and Israel. But God said, if you would have preserved the life of your firstborn, take a lamb, slaughter that lamb. That's going to be the Passover lamb. You're going to eat that for supper. And you're going to get your clothes on, get your staff and your sandals, because you're leaving bondage. But if you'll take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost of that door, when that death angel flies over, if he sees that blood, he's going to go right over, and your home will not be visited with death. In other words, if you have the blood there, you are safe. You don't have to fear Pharaoh. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear the evil angel, because you're covered with the blood. And I'm telling you, you can be fearless in choosing for God because you can know that you're covered by the blood. Hallelujah. You will triumph. You will conquer. Amen. How many's glad to know you're covered by the blood? If you choose to go God's way, you can know that whatever the circumstances of life, whatever the trials, whatever the temptations, you can have this confidence. It can't get to me. I'm covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? You may not recognize this. This is Dr. Charles Weigel. He was a Methodist evangelist, doing a great work for God. But his wife lost her faith, lost her Christianity, if she ever truly had it. And she began to put pressure on him to give up the ministry and to give up his faith. She said, I just don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to go to those kind of churches. I don't want to be a part of that preaching. I'm through. And she quit going with him. And she kept the pressure on. Give it up. Give it up. He wouldn't give it up. And one night he came home from preaching and she had left him a letter. You wouldn't give it up? I'm through. And she left him. Brokenhearted. He said it was interesting, though. He said in that state, I would go to minister and God would come by with his presence. And he said even went to a place that Billy Sunday said, don't go there, you'll never get a response. The great evangelist. But he said during that time, he went to that very place and God anointed him and people began to get saved. He said he went through that for three years and his wife died. And he said that just brought it all home again. And he was sitting there. He was sitting there. And all of a sudden, the sweet presence of God flooded over him. And he had written other songs. And I think he said 20 minutes. He said, in 20 minutes, I wrote this whole song. And it's the greatest. It's considered the greatest song that Dr. Charles Weigel wrote. And if you've ever heard Beverly Shea sing, you probably heard him sing this, but he entitled it, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend can do. And the chorus says, No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love, but I'll never know just why he came to save me. Till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. How did he have a faith when he had to choose between his relationship with God, his work for God, and his own wife? How did he have that faith? Or how did he make the choice? He made that choice because he had his faith unswervingly placed in the Lord. Hallelujah. You can have faith to choose. And I'll tell you, every time someone makes the wrong choice, they choose the world over faith in God or serving God, what they've just said is, I really don't believe God. I really don't believe what he says. I don't believe what he says about sin. I don't believe what he says about eternal life. I don't believe what he says about the wide gate and the broad way that leads. I just don't believe God. Because if you really believe God, you really believe him, you'll choose against the world and you'll choose him. How many wants to have the faith that you would choose the suffering with God's people over the pleasures of the world? Think about that. People are looking for an easy way out, a more fun way, a more pleasurable way. What we need is his way. Would you stand? Father, give us this faith to choose. And when you come, may you find folks that have the faith. They have chosen you completely and totally. I wonder if you wouldn't want to begin to come to the altar saying, I want this kind of faith that I'll choose God over the pleasures of this world every time. If that's a desire to have that kind of faith at work in your life, would you come and say, that's the faith I want that chooses God over this world. Even if it's sufferings in God, I choose sufferings with the people of God over the pleasures of this world. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Oh, why would you choose against God? Why would you choose against Christ? Why would you choose against his love? Why would you choose against his mercy and grace and the compassion of his heart? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Trophies to be won. What are you choosing?
Some will give their very soul to reach earth's highest gain. But to count it gain would be my loss if I lay down commitment cross. So I left my eyes toward things above and serve God with a heart of love. I just want to please the Lord, be in His will in every way, to be lost in His presence, found in His likeness. I want to hear Him say, well done, someday. Trophies to be won, successes there to gain. Some will give their very soul to reach earth's highest gain. But to count it gain would be my loss if I lay down commitment's cross. So I set my eyes toward things above and serve God with a heart of love. I just want to please the Lord, be in His will in every way, to be lost in His presence, found in His likeness. I want to hear Him say,